First Chronicles, chapter 13.
我们来打开《历代志上》第13章。
This is the story of David bringing the ark up to Jerusalem.
大卫把这个约柜带回耶路撒冷的记载。
We'll read the whole chapter, it's a short chapter.
我们把13章全部念一次。
First Chronicles 13.
历代志上13章。
Then David consulted with the captains of the thousands and the hundreds, even with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, If it seems good to you, and if it is from the Lord our God, let us send everywhere to our kinsmen who remain in all the land of Israel, also to the priests and Levites who are with them in their cities and pasture lands, that they may meet with us, and let us bring back the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul.
That's wrong. I don't think it would be. I will read it.
You just read it. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. But David assembled all Israel together, from Shehor of Egypt, even to the entrance of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim. David and all Israel went up to Baalah, that is to Kiriath-Jearim, which belongs to Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, the Lord who is enthroned above the cherubim, where his name is called. They carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, even with songs and with lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and with trumpets. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, because the oxen nearly upset it. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. So he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Then David became angry because of the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and he called the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, How can I bring the ark of God home to me? So David did not take the ark with him to the city of David, but took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. Thus the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months, and the Lord blessed the family of Obed-Edom with all that he had. Then we want to just look at our theme verses in 2 Timothy. Chapter 2.
我们看后书二章,
verses 1 and
2.
Actually, I think we'll read down through verse
7.
You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
我儿啊，你要在基督耶稣的恩典上刚强起来，你在许多见证人面前听见我所教训的，你要交托那忠心能教导别人的人。Suffer
hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier.
你要和我同受苦难，好像基督耶稣经的精兵。凡在军中当兵的，不将事务缠身，好叫那招他当兵的喜悦。Also,
if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules.
人若在场上比武，非按规矩，就不能得冠冕。
The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything.
劳役的农夫理当先得粮食，我所说的话你要思想，因为凡事主必给你聪明。
Now, in a few messages from now, Lord willing, I want to come back to this topic as we look at Timothy receiving the torch of the testimony.
当我这一次的讲道来到后面的时候，我会再回到这里讲到提摩太怎么样从保罗接过这一个接力棒。
And you see in this passage that Paul is telling Timothy three different ways, pictures of what being strong in grace means.
保罗在这段圣经里面用三个不同的角度来告诉提摩太怎么样在主里面有力量。
One, you must be self-sacrificing like a soldier.
你要像一个军人这样的自我牺牲。
Two, you must be self-disciplined like an athlete.
第二，你要像一个运动员，能够控制自己。
Three, you need to be self-controlled as a farmer.
第三，你要像个农夫，能够自我约束。
But in the English, there is a fourth illustration that is obscured by the English.
在英文里面有第四个，可是英文把它稍微去扭了一下。
But some Greek scholars believe that verse 2 is yet a fourth illustration in Paul's exhortation to Timothy.
那第四个是什么呢？就在第二节里头，只是我们翻译的人没有把原文的意思表达出来。
Because the language that he's using is the language of a relay marathon.
那个就是讲到在接力赛跑的这个图画。
Now the ancient Greeks had a marathon relay race.
在希腊人的竞技的里面有一项叫做接力赛。
You know the marathon is what, like 27 miles or something, right?
那么有一项叫做马拉松，有26个 mile.
Anybody run the Seattle Marathon here?
有没有中间有个人跑？
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, back in the Greek days, they actually had a relay also.
在古时候希腊的时代就有这个运动。
So each of the four runners did 6.5 miles.
所以每一棒跑六里半。
And you can see here there's four generations in this verse 2.
那么在第二节你看到的时候，这里面有四代的人。
Paul says the things you receive from me, he's the first generation runner.
所以保罗是第一代，他说你从我得到神的话。
Timothy, you need to take these things, the second generation.
然后提摩太，你是第二代，你从我接这一棒。
And then pass them on to faithful men, that's third generation.
然后把它交付给那个有忠心的人的第三代。
Who will teach others also, that's fourth generation.
然后那一代人要会教下一代的第四代。
And so this is the basis upon which we're talking about this passing the torch of the testimony.
所以这一次我们的主题说把沉船就是指着这一个交接力棒的事。
And so we see that there's three real issues here.
这里有很重要的三个重点。
The first is,
第一个重点
who can pass on the testimony?
谁能够把这个主的见证传出去。
Now you can imagine this, actually back in the days of the marathon, they actually used a torch, a burning torch.
在古时候呢是教这个火把。
And even as in today's marathon, relay races, it's very important the passing of the baton.
那么今天在比赛的里头接力赛常常是一个棒子。
The Chinese team in the Olympics,could be running the fastest of the relay. But the third man drops the baton as he receives it from the second. It's immediately over.
不管哪一个队伍能够跑得很快，但是如果第三棒的人没有接住，把棒掉了地上，那这个比赛就输掉了。
So the baton cannot be dropped.
所以这个接力棒千万不能掉。
But they had a second problem.
还有一个问题。
What do you think that
is? 那是什么问题呢？
Well, when they were running, the torch could go out.
就是你跑的时候，火炬就灭了。
No danger if they're running as fast as I am.
所以灭了就没什么好跑了。
And so when you look at pictures online of these marathon runners, you see that they had the torch and they had a light shield. And they had to carry the shield in front. So they actually ran like this.
所以对的，你真的去看那个带着火炬跑的人，那火炬前面必须有挡风的，让这个火炬不会被灭。
And so it's important, whoever has the torch to keep it alive.
所以跑接力赛的人他必须有一个使命，不但要跑得快，还要把这个火不要灭了。
This can die out.
因为火会吹掉。
And so we see, first of all, who is worthy to pass on the testimony?
所以第一点，谁配得过把这个传给下一代呢？
Second, who is able to receive the test, the torch of the test?
第二，谁又配得能够接这个棒呢？
And then third, what is this torch being passed?
那么第三，这个传的这个火炬的本身代表是什么呢？
Now these are the three things we'll try to look at.
所以今天早上我们就要讲这三个点。
Now the torch is a fire.
火把是带着火的。
It's a life.
这是一个生命。
Indeed, the torch we carry is very difficult to pass on.
这个火把能够很不容易要传给下一个。
Because it's not doctrine.
这里不是讲一个教条。
Although truth is involved.
虽然这里有真理的问题。
You're passing on a person.
你是给一个人
the testimony of Jesus.
因为这个人就是耶稣基督。
Somehow, a person must be full of Jesus enough that they can pass on him to somebody else who can receive him.
所以这个传，第一个要传的人，他不是传一个教条，是传一个活的人，耶稣。
It's easy to pass on doctrine.
你要把教条传给别人还容易。
But Paul's talking about more than that, Timothy.
但是保罗这里所讲的远超过一个教条。
The things that you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses.
第一节说 你在许多人第二节在许多见人面前听见我的教训。
Now this involves the truth about Jesus.
这里是讲到耶稣基督的真理。
But it involves something more.
但是比这真理还多一点。
How do you pass on the life?
这里就是要把一个生命传递出去。
You can pass on doctrine.
你把教条传下去容易。
And of course, we always see that in the history of the church.
你如果看教会的历史，你常常发现这件事。
The first person who receives the testimony sees light.
第一代接到神给他这个真理的时候，他看到光。
As he tries to interpret the light that he has seen by revelation, he finds truth.
在这一个光的底下，他开始要来解释他从神得到的这光真理是什么。
And he tries to pass it and make this truth.
然后他要把这个真理往下一代传。
Unfortunately, second generation,
但是到了第二代不幸的是
they start out with truth.
他开始有这个真理
but maybe no light.
但是没有光
and they turn truth into dogma.
所以就把这个真理呢就变成一个死的字句了。
Dogma are doctrines that we just do.
这个字句就是说我们第一、第二、第三要这么做。
And so the church began with this testimony of Jesus.
所以教会的起头是从耶稣基督的见证开始。
But by the time of Martin Luther,
但是到了马丁路德的时候
the church had dogma.
教会得到的只是一个死的教条。
What does that mean?
什么意思？
Mary was conceived immaculately and without sin.
那么讲到玛利亚怀孕，他就说她是很奇特的怀了孕，没有罪的。
If somebody said, well, where is that in the Bible?
刚刚那个讲法在圣经在哪里啊
It's not. The Pope said so, that's it.
因为当年是教皇说的那就
And the Pope said in one of his dogmas, the world is flat.
然后教皇在他的教条里面也说过地球是平的
That's how Galileo got into trouble.
所以伽利略就有问题了
You see, a dogma, you can say whatever you want.
因为每一次来到教堂呢，是人要怎么讲就怎么讲。
We take the truth that was seen by revelation.
我们本来从神得到的一个真理。
But the second generation doesn't see the revelation.
但是第二代的人他只见到字，没有看到那个神的光。
But they still think about it.
但是他在那里揣摩。
Using the best wisdom from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
那就用人的智慧，就是我们的老亚当从那个智慧启示的。这个知识上的树的那个智慧在那里想
，and they come up with dead duck，
用那人的智慧来想的话，得到的就是死的字句。
So John Calvin had a living revelation of the sovereignty of God。
加尔文开始的时候，他从神有光有启示
，and then it went down Calvinists， out Calvin，
那么然后他往加尔文。得到启示以后，他后来往下传。下面人得到的是加尔文主义。
Calvin tried to understand the sovereignty of God.
加尔文他开始的时候想要理解神的主权。
But he had seen the light.
他看见了光。
How do you describe?
他怎么样形容这个光呢
？But by the time hyper Calvinists come in,
但是后来那些加尔文主义者跑进来了。
God has limited atonement.
他就发明一个教训，就是说神的救赎是有限制的。
What does that mean?
什么意思？
Calvinists believe when Jesus died on the cross, he only died for those people who were supposed to be saved. He didn't die for the world.
所以这个解释就是加尔文主义者就解释这句话的意思，就是说耶稣在十字架上死的时候，他不是为全世界的人类的罪而死，是为那一些少数相信他的人而死。
This is the brilliant conclusion of man's brain.
所以这个教条呢，是人自己聪明智慧想出来的一个结晶。
But they push the truth to an extreme.
他把一个真理推向另外一个极端。
So when we talk about passing the torch of the testimony.
所以当我们今天来讲到见证的传递，
It involves every generation being a first generation.
这里有一个很重要的原则，每一个世代去承接这个真理的时候，他必须仍然回到第一代的那个地位上。
If the next generation coming up do not see the light of the wisdom and revelation of the Spirit of Jesus Christ,
任何一代从前面接受这个真理的时候，他如果没有得到第一代的那个光，
then they'll just do things out of tradition.
那么他所做的不过是一个传统。
So you ask one of the young people, how come you break bread every Sunday?
你如果问一个青年人，你们教会为什么每个礼拜天擘饼？
That's just the way we do it.
我们上一代就这么干。
Have no idea what's behind.
但是为什么这么做的没有理解。
And so when we talk about this nature of the torch of the testimony,
所以今天我们来讲到见证的传递。
This brings us to our story today.
那就把今天我要讲的故事。
The torch of the testimony of Jesus,
耶稣基督的这个见证
is a most important part of the Christian faith.
是我们整个信仰的最中心的部分。
And it is pictured in the Old Testament, the torch of the testimony of Jesus in the New Testament is pictured by the ark of the testimony in the Old Testament.
新约讲到耶稣基督的见证，那么用旧约的话来表达的话，就是在旧约的那一个约柜。
Now when we read the story about David who tried to bring the ark up to Jerusalem, but they had the tragic death,
那我们刚刚读的十三章这段话记载那个约柜进耶路撒冷的故事。
For David, this caused many questions.
那这个故事我们刚刚读的时候，你会发现他的热心造成许多的问题。
But the whole passage asks us a deeper question.
那么这整个你十三章念完之后，你里头就自然而然会发生一个问题。
Behind this story, as you read it, your spirit should be sensitive to a question.
所以当我们任何时候读圣经的时候，我们应该里面对灵的意思要有一个敏感度。
Here's the question.
那问题是什么呢？
Who is able to bear the ark of the testimony?
这个问题就是说，谁能够承继神的见证？
That's the question from this story.
那这就是今天这十三章你读完之后你应该问的问题。
If you look back at First Chronicles,
如果我们把刚刚读的打开来再看，
And chapter 13,
就是历代志十三章
I point you to one verse.
历代志上十三章的一节
Verse 3,
第三节
Let us bring back the ark of our God to us, for we did not seek it in the days of Saul.
我们要把神的约柜运到我们这里来，因为在扫罗年间，我们没有在约柜前求问神。
Who shall bear the ark of the testimony?
所以这个问题就是谁能够来承继这个约柜的见证？
And immediately we're brought to another question.
那么然后我们就发生第二个问题。Who cares? 谁在乎这件事啊？
Does anybody care about the ark of the testimony?
有人对这个约柜的见证在乎吗？
Since the days of Saul,People didn't even think about the Ark of the Testimony.
看看周围，包括我们上一代的皇帝，从扫罗开始到今天，没有人关心这件事。
Many of the Israelites maybe don't even remember or know what the Ark of the Testimony is.
可能在那时候的犹太人，很多人根本连约柜都没有听过。
This is a terrible state to be in.
这个情形就说出当时犹太人的灵性光景。
You say to somebody of the tribe of Benjamin, where is the Ark of the Testimony? The Ark of the Testimony? I don't know.
如果你找到十二个支派的便雅悯支派，你问便雅悯支派一个人， 这个耶和华的约柜在哪里？很多人问我，看看你，看看我说。
And you see, the question is very relevant today.
这件事情对今天我们还也是一样的，同等意义。
I tell you a very, very sad fact.
我要跟你讲一个非常悲哀的故事。
If you ask the majority of Christians today,
如果今天你碰到一个任何一个基督徒，你问他这个问题
，What is the testimony of Jesus？
你就问他什么是耶稣基督的见证
？They have no idea what you're talking about.
大部分会摇摇头，不知道你在讲什么。
Do you know that even the NIV, when it came to translating the testimony of Jesus, this phrase in the Book of Revelation?
甚至在翻译圣经的人，我们有一个版本叫做 NIV 的版本，你去看他翻译这个词汇“耶稣基督的见证”在启示录这里面的时候。
Now somebody check this because now I'm thinking maybe it isn't NIV, but it's a modern translation.
总而言之是一个现代版本，我 NIV 不一定是准确的，总之有一个版本。
And in the book of Revelation, you know, about five times this phrase, testimony of Jesus is used. It's one of the most crucial phrases in the book of Revelation.
这个词汇在圣经最后的启示录是一个非常重要的特殊词汇，五次出现。
But modern translations, they don't even understand.
那么这个翻译现代本的人，现代译本的人，这个词汇不知道怎么翻译。
They don't see the light in it. They don't see the person in it.
因为这件事情他们不知道是指着一个人说的。
And so they just translated our witness about Jesus.
他就说我们对耶稣的一个见证。
No, the testimony of Jesus is that, but so, so much more.
他不是只是关乎一个人，要比这个人我们所讲的更多的多。
Who's got an NIV? Revelation 19:10.
What's this testimony of Jesus?
Okay. Well, that's good. So, anyway, modern translations are going away from this term.
但是有一个英文的现代译本就离开了这个字，应该翻译成耶稣基督的见证，他用了另外一个词来代表。
Now let me ask you a question.
让我问大家一个问题。
Now I've just stated, made a statement. The testimony of Jesus is a crucial issue in the church today.
这个耶稣基督的见证这件事情是现代教会一个非常急迫性的问题。
Now if I ask you, what is this testimony of Jesus, could you answer?
那如果我来问你这个词汇的时候，你怎么回答？
If you have no idea, this is just the state of the church today.
如果你答不出来，你不要觉得稀奇，今天整个普遍来讲都答不出来。
Now let's use the ark as an illustration of what happened.
那我们现在回到用旧约的这个约柜来看这个情景。
This event we're reading about is a result of something that happened 40 years before.
这我们现在读的这一段话是40年前的一件事。
There was a place called Shiloh, and the tabernacle was built in Shiloh.
那么在以色列人这件事情发生之前的40年，有一个地方叫做示罗。
And you remember when they built the tabernacle, whenever they set it up.
那么在示罗呢，他们把这个神的会幕搭起来。
The most important piece of furniture was the ark of the tabernacle that they put in last.
那么我们都知道，在旧约告诉我们，会幕里面最重要的家具就是至圣所的约柜。
Notice what it says here in chapter 13 and verse 6 at the end.
第六节有这么一句话
：To bring up from there the ark of God, Jehovah, who is enthroned.Above the cherubim, where is his name?
在这个第六节里面下半句，他说：“这约柜就是坐在二基路伯上耶和华神留名的约柜。”
The ark was so much more than just a golden box with a throne on top.
约柜不仅仅就是一个金的包金的柜子，上面有一个宝座而已。
It was a gold box, had the Ten Commandments in it.
在这个盒子里头有两块滑板。
And then on top there was a throne.
然后在这个盒子的上面就有一个宝座。
A throne where the invisible God sat.
这个宝座就是我们看不见的神的宝座。
And there were two cherubim on either side of this throne.
然后在这宝座两边有两个基路伯。
This was the central piece.
这是整个的中心。
Now one day in Shiloh they had a war with the Philistines.
有一次在示罗，犹太人跟这个非利士人打仗
，and Israel was losing，
那么他们打输了
，so they said let's bring the ark out into the battle，
所以他们说，那我们把约柜抬出来打仗。
See they remember the days of Joshua when they would take the ark out in front of the people，
因为他们知道以前在古时约书亚打仗的时候，常常就是把约柜抬到最前面。
But God didn't tell them to do it。
这一次神没有叫他们这样做。
And they took it into the battle. It was like a superstitious good luck charm。
那么这就是一个迷信，认为如果只要把约柜抬出去，我们一定赢。
But God's throne is no superstitious lucky charm。
但是神的宝座不是我们迷信的一种东西，抬出去就灵了。
And so Israel lost the battle。
但是所以仍然输了。
And the Philistines stole the ark。
所以非利士人就把约柜给掳走了。
And then they came back to Shiloh。
所以这他们逃回来回到示罗。
When they told the high priest Eli that the ark had been taken, he fell down dead.
那么以色列人就告诉大祭司示罗说，哎，约柜给人家抢走了，那这个老祭司就倒下来了，死掉了。
Now you say, well, what's the big deal?
那你说这有什么了不起？什么意思？
You still have the tabernacle.
那你现在会幕还在那？
Still have a golden lampstand.
还有金灯台啊。
A table for bread.
还有这个陈设饼。
Altar of incense.
还有这个金香炉啊。
What's the big deal?
少一个有什么了不起呢？
One more thing.
还有一个东西。
The tabernacle is now called Ichabod.
但是现在这个地方有一个新的名字叫以加伯。
This is Hebrew word, Ichabod.
希伯来话，这个以加伯这个是希伯来话。
Kavod means glory.
这个字本来是讲到，这个有一部分是讲到荣耀。
E means no.
那义这个字也就是没有荣耀
，the glory is gone，
也就是荣耀离开了。
If you remove the ark from the tabernacle, the glory is gone。
所以，如果一个会幕把这个见证的柜挪走的话，意思就是说荣耀离开了会幕。
And for 40 years, there was no glory。
换言之，这件事情之后一眨眼40年过去了，没有荣耀。
And you know something? The people got used to having no glory。
那反正大家也习惯了，没荣耀就没荣耀嘛，一样过日子。
Why？
为什么
？Because their religion was good，
因为他们有一个美好的宗教。
You know they still did sacrifices， that's good。
他们仍然在这里献祭啊。
They still went before an altar of incense and they worship， that's good。
他们也到这个金香炉祷告，也是很好啊。
Oh， they still had candlestick， this is a prophecy， they still have prophets， that's good。
这里有金灯台，这个象征神的先知的执事，有人讲道，
多了好了。Still have table of bread. Oh, we still can eat the word of God. That's good.
这里有这个陈设饼的桌子，表示我们还可以读经祷告，不错。
So for 40 years, God's people settled for the good.
所以40年来，神的百姓就以伺候代替了上好。
And they begin to talk and say, what about the ark?
那如果有人问，哎，约柜呢？
They say, you know, we don't know about the ark. Well, you know, we've never seen it.
然后如果有一代人在那边问约柜是什么东西的，他们说我们从来没见过，我们也不知道是什么。
It's super spiritual.
那是太属灵了。
You know, because whenever we're moving, the priest always covers it up. We never get to see it.
每次这个约柜会幕搬来搬去的时候，总是把这个盖起来的，所以我们从来没见过。约柜是什么样子？
The tribe of the unbelievites, they said, I wonder if it's even a real thing.
那么利未这个支派的人，他们说现在因为从来没见过，这个到底存在不存在有问题。
And what difference does it make?
对我们来讲没什么，有与没有无所谓了。
Because even if it was in the tabernacle, nobody could see it but the high priest one night.
即使有约柜在那个会幕里，只有一个人见过，就是大祭司一年见一次。
Now the only thing missing.
那现在没有了。
The cloud by day and the fire by night, God's glory over the tabernacle.
在那个时候有云柱火柱在旷野。
That's the only thing missing.
那现在没有约柜，那个也没有。
And then one day, a young man named David became king.
有一天大卫做王了。
And he immediately made some proclamations.
他一做王马上宣布。
What was number one proclamation?
他的第一个宣告是什么？
We must take Jerusalem for God's city.
他第一个宣告，我们必须把耶路撒冷打下来，因为这是大君王的城。
Now here's even a more amazing.
这个也是很有意思的一件事。
Now the children of Israel have been in the promised land for 400 years, and nobody tries to find God at the city.
大卫讲这句话的时候，
以色列人已经在应许之地住了400年，但是从来没有人问过一个问题：神要的住在哪里
？You can read it in Deuteronomy 1:8-9。你可以《申命记》读个几百遍。
God says, "When you get into the promised land, there is a city appointed for me, for my house, for you to come and offer sacrifice."
在《申命记》里面，摩西一次多次的讲，将来你们进到应许之地的时候，有一个城是我定为君王的城。
Joshua came in, the judges came in, Saul was king.
你可以看到，这样过了四世纪，过了列王纪，这个开始，你看到扫罗做了王，都没有人想到这个城的问题。
And nobody said, "Where is God's city?"
从来没有任何一个人问一问，《申命记》里面讲的那一个城是指什么说的，没有人问。
Immediately David becomes king. He says, "Jerusalem." How does he know that?
但是等到大卫一坐了宝座，他第一件事就提这个城。他怎么知道呢？
This is what it means. David has a heart for God.
所以这里证明一件事：这里有一个人有心人。
I think probably he first wondered when he was still shepherd boy.
我在这边猜，可能他在旷野做牧羊童的时候，他已经在想这个问题。
Because from Bethlehem you can look up and see this hill in the distance. This Jebus, as it was called, because it was a Jebusite city.
那他那个时候在这个旷野牧羊，从他的旷野，他可以看到这个耶布斯城，因为那个时候耶路撒冷是在耶布斯人的手里。
That's the first thing he said.
所以他一做王，他第一件事就说。
And they attacked and took over Jerusalem. Said, "Now this is the city of God."
所以他去攻打，然后把这个城夺过来，他马上宣报，这是耶和华大君王的城。
And up in heaven, you can hear, "Hooray! Somebody with a heart for God."
你如果也耳朵竖起来，可以听到天上就在那里呼喊，说：“哎呀，太好了，这里有一个人为神找到这个城了。
”Second proclamation,
第二个宣告
，We must find the ark and bring it to the city of God.
就是我们一定要找到约柜在哪里，然后把它带回大君王的城。
How can we be God's people without the ark?
我们作为神的选民，可是却没有约柜，这算哪门子的事？
How can we worship without His presence?
我们怎么可以在那里说敬拜神，可是神不在这里？
How can we serve without His throne?
我们怎么能够侍奉他，但是这里并没有他的宝座？
You see, and this is what he said at the beginning of this chapter 13.
所以你注意看十三章的开始，这就是大卫的话。
Still, he said to the people, "If you feel like it's God's will, let's bring the ark to Jerusalem."
所以他就说，如果你们都看为好，这是神的旨意，我们去把约柜运进来。
Was it God's will?
是不是神的旨意啊？
Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely.
当然是。
God wants to dwell in His city.
因为神要住在这个他的城。
We sang this song last night. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell.
昨天晚上我们唱这首诗歌。
Where does that come from?
从哪里来这首诗歌？
The scripture.
是圣经。
Who knows?
几章几节？
137.
A psalm.
Okay. 诗篇。
137.
I think it's 132, right?
Closing up.
It starts out this way. David swore, "I will not sleep on my bed. I will not shut my eyes until God has a dwelling place."
因为这首诗篇是大卫写的，他说，我如果没有为耶和华大能者找到安息的所在，我不容我的眼睛闭合，我也不容我自己上床。
And then when David said this promise, God spoke.
所以当大卫许了这个愿以后，神就说话了。
This is my rest forever.
神就说，不错，这是我永远安息的所在。
You have found my resting place. This is where I will.
这 这就是你为我找到的安息所在，我要住在这里。
Here I will bless my people.
我要在这里祝福我的百姓。
So David knew in his heart, we must bring the ark up to Jerusalem.
所以大卫有这个心，他知道这个重要性在哪里。
He went right on.
他打到红心了。
This is what should be done.
这就是神的百姓应该做的事。
But this brings us to the terrible mistake.
但是好心却带来一个可怕的结果。
He had a heart for the will of God.
他有心为了神的见证。
But unfortunately, he did not know the way of God.
但是很不幸的，大卫不知道神做事的法则。
He wanted to do it quickly.
他要做得快。
But he didn't study the word of God.
但是他忘记去好好读主的话。
How can we bring the ark?
怎么把神的这个约柜运回来呢？
Who can bear the ark?
谁能够承担这个约柜呢？
Now you know what men always desire.
那人就说，那我们想一想哦。
Let's do it the simplest way.
让我们用一个最简单的方法。
We'll build a wooden cart.
我们就做一个车辆。
We'll build a man-manufactured cart to carry the ark up to Jerusalem.
我们搞一个车子，然后把这个柜就约柜就放在这个车子上面。
Now, you must always watch out for elders and deacons. They make many decisions like this.
所以你要注意，每个教会的这些长子们常常就做这种糊涂见证、糊涂的事。
Of course, we learn later on, only the Levites can carry, and they have to carry on their shoulders.
如果你好好读旧约圣经，旧约圣经告诉我们，只有利未人可以用肩膀扛这个约柜，这是神用的方法。他们没有去读。
But man is always thinking shortcut.
但是人呢就想找个简单的方法，不要那么麻烦了。
Let's take the ark up in SUV.
我们就把它放在 SUV 上就可以了。
No, 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 somebody said, no, I can find a used hearse for funerals.
不要 SUV, 我可以找那个出殡的那个殡仪馆用的那个车子，长长的更方便。
There's no way, but we have to have brand new.
但是我要找一个全新的。
2010 model just out.
那个老的已经淘汰了。
So they came with the 2010 hybrid wooden ox cart.
所以他们就找了一个最新版本的、最省能源的牛车、木板车。
But is man's ways able to bring the ark up to Jerusalem?
但是请问，人的聪明智慧做出来的方法，能够有资格来运？神的见证吗？
Is a manufactured cart able to bear the testimony?
是不是人把它做出来的东西就可以来荣耀神呢？
Ladies and gentlemen, so much of what is called the church today is manufactured by men, and they think they can bring the ark.
这里就讲到今天在地上所谓教会，常常是用人的方法、人的聪明、人的管理来搞一个教会，说这个就是为耶稣做见证。
All kinds of schemes, all kinds of plans to bring up the ark.
那我们在那里就用人想出来各样的想象，然后就把它摆在这个活动的里头。我们说这个就是为耶稣做见证了。
But it caused a tragedy.
但是这个要带来的是悲剧。
Who is worthy to bear the ark?
现在我们要问问谁配承担这个见证。
Surely here is how we bear the ark of testimony.We praise God with all our might.
这里一个方法就是我们起来跳舞、唱歌、赞美他。
Now David brought out before the ark, and he brought all the best singers and all the best players of instruments, and David danced with all his might, jumping up and down and worshiping in the spirit of God.
所以你可以看到刚刚我们读的这段圣经，大卫就找了最会唱歌的人组织一个诗班，然后他们就跳舞、弹琴，就大大赞美耶和华。
Now there are many wonderful churches around today, and they're the jumping worship church.
今天在地上也是一样，我们到很多的所谓的教会的这些敬拜团，他们在那里上跳啊蹦的赞美神。
Bring in the musician,
把最会唱歌的人带来。
Bring in the choir.
最好的诗班带来
，Let's all jump up and down，
然后我们在那里大尽情
跳。This will bear the ark，
这样我们来为耶稣做见证。
But did it work？
但是这个方法灵不灵啊
？Tragic，
带来的是悲剧。
There are many assemblies of God's people who love the Lord。
是，今天到处有很多爱主的基督徒。
They emphasize worship，
他们强调敬拜。
Now we know worship is very important。
是，敬拜很重要。
But the testimony is more important。
但是有比敬拜更重要的是耶稣基督的见证。
Who can bear the ark?
谁能够承担这个约柜？
The leaders, the mighty men.
那就是那些有能力的人，是教会的领袖，他们能够承担。
You see, that's what David gathered there, verse 1.
这不就是大卫在第一节所做的事吗？
He gathered the captains and the thousands and the hundreds and the leaders.
他把千夫长找来了，百夫长找来了，一切首领都找来了，开会。
Now you know David had some men who were called his mighty men.
所以大卫有一些跟从的人，圣经称他们为大卫的勇士们。
They were men of faith.
这些都是有信心的人。
Some of them killed a hundred people with one sword.
圣经说这些人有的人用他的剑可以杀掉上百的人。
These mighty men were legends of faith.
这些人都是有大信心的人。
That's what brings the ark to the house of God.
所以大卫认为这些人可以靠着他们把约柜带来。
We have to have faith.
我们要有信心。
You can move mountains.
我们可以挪移山。
You bring up the ark.
我们把约柜搬进来。
It was a tragedy.
但是结果是悲剧。
Now do you see how the church does the same kind of thing today?
今天新约的教会也做同样的事。
We emphasize one thing.
我们强调一个点。
It's teaching that brings the ark.
我们认为只要讲道就可以把
worship that brings the ark.
或者说只要我们敬拜赞美就可以
faith that brings the ark.
或者我们要信心就可以。
This didn't work.
但是这些都不灵。
And so it says as they went up the road with all of those faith leaders, all of those worshippers, and on that ark's top.
所以你看大卫把这些他能够想象最好的东西通通把放进来，来抬这个约柜。
The Bible says, God broke out.
但是圣经说神发怒。
Hebrew is a word, broke out with fire, as if like suddenly, consumed.
在那里突然间有耶和华的火焰出现。
And it ruined all the plans.
就把他们整个的计划打散打乱。
Why would God break out?
但是这个就引起一个问题。
We're doing the will of God.
大家都是要做好事，不执行神的旨意。
We're bringing the ark to the house of God.
我们终于把神的约柜带到神的大君王的城来了。
Why would God bring that?
为什么神发怒？
David was one of the masters of understanding of God's mercies.
大卫是经历过神恩典怜悯的人。
His psalms are full of God's mercy.
他的诗你可以看得出来，他都提到耶和华的怜悯。
Why would God suddenly react with such anger?
但是今天怎么会看见神发怒？
David knew it was God's anger.
因为大卫知道是神的怒气
and stopped the whole plan.
这整个的就会打草惊蛇。
David didn't know what to do.
大卫这下傻了，不知道怎么办。
So let's take the ark and put it over here for a while.
所以他们就决定把这个约柜搬到临时放了一个地方。
Put it into Obed-Edom's house.
所以就把它搬到俄别以东这个人的家里。
David couldn't figure it out.
大卫没招了。
And this is one of the stories that we Christians can never figure out.
读这段圣经的连基督徒，我们今天也读不懂。
Why wasn't Moses allowed into the promised land? We always wonder about this.
那么，为什么神要用摩西把他们带到旷野去干什么
？And why was Uzzah struck down?
为什么乌撒要被击杀了呢
？Poor guy,
可怜的人。
He loved the Lord.
他爱主啊。
He was a paid preacher.
他是拿薪水的传道人呢。
David and the guys said, "Okay, we're paying you $200. Now you make sure that this ark gets up to the house of God."
那大卫说：“我付你$200，你去把这个约柜搬到这个山上去。”
Oh, like every good preacher, he's making sure it's okay every step. He's watching the ark. It's very conscientious.
所以那边在搬运这个整个的时候，是非常小心、很隆重的这样的一步一步的小心的来做。
So how come God took him out?
但是没有想到神发怒。
Christians are always wondering.
所以我们读这段圣经的时候，每一个人都会问这个问题：这乌撒怎么那么倒霉给杀掉了
？Well, there's a lesson to be learned here.
这里有一个很重要的原则要学的。
God is so merciful.
神是有恩典的神。
How many times have you sinned and confessed and God been merciful?
多少次我们犯罪，我们到神面前，我们求赦免
？We cannot.
我们都算不过来了。
He's so patient.
神都怜悯我们，他没有击杀我。
He's so long-suffering.
他为爱我们受苦，为我们受苦。
There's a warning in the story.
但是这里有一个警告。
When you touch the testimony of the Lord, you're touching the apple of His eye.
当人的手去摸神见证神的见证的时候， 你是摸到神的眼睛了。
There are some things that God guards, and if it's violated, there's immediate action.
这个是神最重要的部分。你如果随便去摸的时候，你会得到很快的神的反应。
One of the vital lessons we learn in our Christian life.
这是我们基督徒一生中要学的很重要的一课。
We live our lives very carelessly.
我们常常生活无所谓，随便生活。
The Lord is very patient and merciful.
那神也让我们好像对我们放，就没有在意的放。
But when we cross the line in terms of His testimony,
但是如果我们跑到一个禁区是不可以摸的，
The Lord deals with us severely.
就是神耶稣基督的见证，你一不小心，神会击伤。
David was humiliated.
这件事情就是大卫完全被打倒蒙羞。
His whole plan was scrapped.
他整个的这个计划全泡汤。
And how did David react?
大卫怎么反应？
He did the right thing. He did nothing but wait.
他的反应是对的，他什么都不做，他就等。
And what happened when he waited?
在他等待的时候，什么事情发生呢？
He got news.
他就听见一个消息。
You know where you put the ark down? Obed-Edom's house.
有人来告诉他说，你不是把约柜放在俄北以东的家里吗？
Next week, he went into 7-Eleven, won the lottery.
第二个礼拜，他去71的店，他赢了这个彩券。
Our brother has had good luck ever since.
从那一天起，他就有很多好运。
Bunches of kids, all kinds of flocks, everything.
他又得到很多的儿女。
David thought maybe it wasn't the ark that was the problem.
他就在想，大卫在想这个问题。
And you know what? Even though David was humiliated, he still had a burden for the ark to be carried to the house of God.
虽然这件事情对大卫的打击很大，他是得到羞辱。可是他的心并没有因此就放弃了这件事情，他一直在揣摩。
Now there is somebody worthy of the testimony.
这个人是配得耶稣基督的见证。
Even though severely dealt with, still he's willing.
他即使有挫败，有击杀，但是他并没有放弃。
So he went back into the Word of God.
所以他就回到圣经再去。
Just like you,
就跟你一样
，always study.
常常读经。
As he's studying, one day.
有一天他读到
He came upon Deuteronomy chapter 10.
所以他就翻到了这一个生命记的第十章。
He said, aha! Now I know what to do.
他找到答案了。
It says in chapter 10, verse 8.
第十章第八节。
At that time the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the ark of the covenant of the Lord.To stand before the Lord to serve Him and to bless in His name until this day. Therefore, Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord is his inheritance, just as the Lord your God spoke to him.
那时耶和华将利未支派分别出来，抬耶和华的约柜，又侍立在耶和华面前侍奉他，奉他的名祝福，直到今日。所以利未人在他弟兄中无份无业。耶和华是他的产业，正如耶和华你神所应许他的。
I hope you see a little irony here.
你在这里要看到一个很有意思
的。David was trying to do the will of God to bring the ark to the house of God.
大卫想要执行神的旨意，要把约柜带到大君王的城。
But he wasn't doing it according to the word of God.
但是他的方法用错了。
Now what's inside the box?
那么到底在这个约柜的里面又装了什么呢？
The word of God.
就是神的话。
So he wanted to carry the word of God, but not according to the word of God.
所以你就会发现这个一件事情，他有心要把神的话带到神的百姓中间，可是他自己不认识圣经。
Sometimes we preach the word of God, but not according to the word of God.
所以这就给讲到我们常常在那里传讲神的话，但是我们自己并不懂神的话。
But David saw it. That's the Levites.
但是这一天他有光了，他看见，哎呀，神当年吩咐得很清楚，是利未人可以做的事。
This is their calling to carry this ark.
是利未人要用肩膀去抬这个见证的柜。
Now here's the question.
好，现在我们有个问题。
Who are the Levites?
谁是利未人呢？
My brother talked about this last night.
我们昨天晚上讲到这个题目。
Who are the Levites?
谁是利未人呢？
I thought all of Israel were supposed to be a kingdom of priests.
神原初是要整个以色列人做祭司的活动。
Well, the Levites represent something within the nation of Israel.
利未人就代表在以色列人代表一件重要事。
The Levites represent those who, the remnant who is faithful to God.
那利未人代表什么原则呢？就是在以色列的失败里面，有一点，有一批人是忠心，没有失败的。
Levi was one of the 12 sons of Jacob.
利未是雅各十二个儿子中间的一个。
And when it came time to choose, those were faithful, the Levites stepped out.
所以当那个神的考验来，谁是站在神这一边，利未人就站出来。
So young people, very the simplest Bible question you ever asked.
现在我问年轻人一个最简单的圣经考试。
When the children of Israel worshipped the golden calf at Mount Sinai,
那天在西奈山犹太人在那里拜金牛的时候，
Moses came down the mountain.
摩西从山上下来
and saw the people committing idolatry.
那他就看见这整个的犹太人在那边拜金牛。
He said, "What tribe will stand with me?"
那摩西问一个问题，哪一个支派愿意跟我站在一起
？To execute God's judgment against those who are being unfaithful.
来执行神对那些对他不忠的人的审判。
Now, what tribe?
哪一个支派站出来啊？这样
一些人一百分。And the Levites, according to the calling of God, were those who were to give their whole life to God.
所以在这个地方你就可以看得出来是利未人他们把他们的一生都奉献在神的面前。
The tribe of Reuben got this property up here. The tribe of Judah got a big bunch of property. Levites got no property.
那一天当神把迦南的美地 分产业给这十二个支派的时候，每一个支派都有自己的一块地。有利未没有
Do you feel sad for the Levites?
那你会不会觉得不太公平吧？他怎么没有地给他们呢？
Levites gained no property, all they had was a person.
他们没有地，但是他们得到地位。
The Lord is my portion,
就是神是他们的产业。
My inheritance,
我他们的产业。
That's what the Levites say.
这是利未得到的。
And David says, who got the best?Inheritance.
那么你现在问一个问题，在这十二个支派里头，哪一个支派得到最好、上好
的 Levites？
啊，当然是
Levites. The Levites are a principle.
所以这里看到一个属灵的原则
：of those who want the best.
这个就是你要的是最好、上好，不要少。
And so, even for all of us as Christians, the Lord comes to us in a dream. He says, "Okay, I'll give you riches.
那么
I'll give you me."
那么今天对每一个基督徒也是同样的选择。有一天晚上，如果神让你做梦，神问你一个问题：我给你财富，还是我自己？你选，你要哪一个？
I know everybody in this room says, "Can I have both of you?"
今天我们这屋子里都会说，要问神，我说两样都要，可以吗？
Oh, but Solomon said, "Give me your speaking, Lord." And the Lord said, "Okay, I'll give you the other two."
那所罗门那一天也有同样的选择。所罗门讲，他要的是智慧，主给他不但智慧，还有别的。
Okay. So and now, so who are the Levites?
那么今天我们要问，利未是谁呀？
No. I mean, are you a Levite?
我要问的是，你是利未人吗？
You know, Christians are called to be a remnant tribe who have chosen the Lord over worldly possessions.
今天什么叫做基督徒？基督徒乃是被神叫出来，他们愿意放弃地上的产业来得到主的人。
The funny thing is, God really blesses people who don't expect the blessings for their inheritance.
但是你会发现，神常常祝福一些人，就是他们对自己的产业毫不关心、毫不在乎，但是关心神的人，神给他们祝福。
You know the Lord has many Levites who wear shabby clothes but have lots of money.
今天你会发现，神所祝福的现代利未人，他们可能身上穿的破破烂烂，但是神给他们很多的财富。
Because their whole concern isn't how do I look? Is my house nice enough? Does everybody love me? How have I got the new car?
因为今天在地上，一般的人是觉得我应该有美丽的房子，这样人家可以看得起我。我要买一个漂亮的汽车，人家可以看中我。
They have a desire. 但是 seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
但是这一批人不一样，他们不在乎在外面，他们只是说照着神的话说，先求他的国与他的义。
And the Lord says, I'll add all these things to you.
那么现在神就说，你既然要神，先要神的国神的义，那这一切我都加给你了。
Prosperity is not a problem to God.
今天成功神学对神来讲是小事一桩。
It's often a problem to us.
但是这个变成我们的大问题。
And so what do we learn by this?
我们到底学到什么？
Here's David, and he has a desire as the leader to bring the ark up to the house of God.
这里你看到大卫王，他是有个心要把神的见证带到耶路撒冷，
but he can't do it.
但是他做错。
Well, he's not of the tribe of Levi.
因为为什么他不是利未人呢？
Isn't that right? He wants to do it, he can't do it.
所以你看到这里有一个矛盾，他愿意做，但是他没资格做。
How will the testimony be brought to the house of God?
所以今天一个问题说，今天到底神的见证怎么带到神的家里头来？
It's got to be the corporate priesthood.
那你这里这个答案就是你需要有一个今天现代的集体的立位人。
A tribe of those who've given their lives to God.
也就是说，这里必须要有一个人，他们这一批人是真正把自己的生命完全奉献给主的。
Even as the Levi said, God is my inheritance. He is my life.
像古时候的利未人说，耶和华是我的产业，他是我的生命。
So we see a picture of the problem today.
今天我们看到同样的一个问题。
Who can pass on the torch of the testimony to the next generation?
谁能够把耶稣基督的见证传给下一代？
It has to be those who have given their all.
那也就是说，只有这些把他的一生全部奉献的人，他们可以传递接受这个见证。
This is why Paul could pass on this torch to Timothy.
这就是保罗之所以能够有资格把这个火把传给提摩太的原因。
Spiritually, Paul was a Levite.
以属灵的角度来说，保罗是这个利未人。
Now, what happens in the Levite's life?
利未的一生有什么故事？
God shines through their holiness.
神用他圣洁的光照亮他们。
God shines through their testimony.
神把他的见证照亮在他们中间。
And in the end, they can pass on a person to the next generation.
然后他们就会把这个神的自己来向下一代传递。
Now that's why I have to talk two more times, God willing.
所以我还有两个信息，主许可的话。
And both groups are in trouble.
这两组人都有问题。
Older people,
老一代
you're in trouble.
你有问题。
If Jesus is in your life, you're not passing on the testimony. You're passing on death.
如果耶稣基督不是你的生命，你所传递的不是生命，而是死亡。
Every once in a while, I go down to China.
有的时候我跑到中国城
In New York City, there's these big brick and stone Chinese churches.
在纽约的这个华人街里面有一个华人教会，是一个很古老砖头盖的。
And in these big beautiful places, you see 25 very old people coming out from the meetings hall.
每次主日你可以从这个地方看到有25个老年人从这个古老的建筑物走出来。
They tried to pass on Christianity as a cultural tradition. All the young people left.
他们希望能够把他们老一辈的人所信仰的传给他们下一代。很可惜年轻人都跑光。
And there's these huge buildings with nobody in them.
这里有一个很古老的建筑物，但是在这里就这么几个老人
we old people are trouble.
所以我们就知道他们有大的严重问题。
It's not too late.
这还不是太晚哦。
But if we don't learn our lesson,
我们要学一个功课
we will have empty shell.
这个功课就是如果我们没有从这里面吸取教训的话，将来有一天我们也面临同样的
问题。No ark. No ark.
Just good stuff. 你没有把这个见证的贵往下传，你把一些所谓的好事、好传统传给下一代。
And then God willing, I will speak to the Timothys, the young men.
然后第二个问题是在年轻一代，所谓提摩太的问题。
And you're in trouble.
那你们年轻人有年轻人的问题。
Because I have to ask the question. Do you even care about the testimony of Jesus?
年轻人的问题是什么呢？你们在不在乎耶稣基督的见证？在乎吗？
is what you have been done.
你是不是以你现有的已经为满足了呢？
Feels like home.
你觉得这里住起来蛮舒服的。
Sometimes you hear something that's good.
比如偶尔听几篇好的讲道，觉得不错。
Sometimes worship touches you.
有的时候敬拜也摸到你的一点点感觉。
Why do we have to stand the test to have the testimony?
为什么我们需要经过这么多的熬炼来为耶稣做见证何苦呢？
This is the most crucial question in these last days.
这个问题就是今天在主回来的最后一段路子最重要要回答的问题。
Jesus himself tells us in these last days.
因为耶稣自己他告警告我们，
Many in the church will not follow.
很多的人在教会里面没有跟主到底。
But he who has an ear.And he who overcomes, he shall bear the testimony of Jesus.
启示录七封信里面一直重复地说，凡有耳的，圣灵所说的话都要听，来承担耶稣基督的见证。
We always think that this Jesus speaking of the kingdom as the narrow way and the broad way is speaking about salvation.
我们常常把耶稣讲到宽路与窄路的时候，我们说到我们的理解是指着耶稣基督的救恩来说的。
But there is a Christian broad way and a narrow.
但是实际上，我们要看见，在现在其实，在基督徒中间，基督徒当中仍然有宽路与窄路的问题。
And God has His best things for the few who dare to stand the test.
所以刚刚我们唱的诗歌说。神有他的上好要赐给我们那些能够经得起考验的人。
Let's pray.
让我们低头祷告。
We meet you at the crossroads, Lord.
主啊，我们在十字路口。
We have tried to bring up the ark.
我们希望把耶稣基督的见证带上来。
But we have done it in faulty ways.
但是我们常常枉费功夫。
Even as leaders, sometimes with a heart full like David's,
即使我们的领袖像大卫一样有这样的好心
，we would try to bring the testimony along ourselves.
我们想靠自己的方法来传递耶稣基督的见证。
But you have called for overcomers.
但是今天已经呼召那一些得胜者
，for Levites to be counted for you.
就是古时候像古时候的利未人，他们为神而活
，willing to carry the ark uphill.
他们愿意把这个耶稣见证带到山上
to his resting place in Jerusalem
是在神可以安息的耶路撒冷
I pray that you will snag the hearts of young people
我们在这里祷告求你今天在青年人中这一代中间做同样的工作
because the good certainly seems enough
今天很多我们以次好代替了上好
but we want the glory over the house of God
但是主，今天我们的心是希望神的荣耀在神的家出现。
And for those who've known the Lord for years,
那对那些老基督徒
，How easy to settle for the good?
我们太容易以好代替了神。
But with the good, there is no rest.
但是次好其实没有安息。
Lord, we would expend our final breath to have your very best.
主啊，愿意我们剩下的日子，我们能够得着神的上好。
Lay these things in our hearts, Lord, with conviction.
主啊，把今天的话在我们心里面成为我们的挑战。
We are all confessing that we are just altogether worldly people.
主啊，我们向你承认，我们实在是一个非常属世的人。
But your Spirit is separating us for yourself.
但是主，你的圣灵今天要来把我们圣别出来，属于主。
A holy nation.
是一个圣洁的国度。
A royal priesthood.
是一个祭司的。这个国度
a people of treasure
是神眼中的宝贝
let it be in our lives
让这个成为我们的生命
we ask humbly for your help
我们谦卑地求神帮助我
in Jesus' precious name
奉主耶稣的名祷告
Amen